2 weeks ago, I began a message called Family Circles. During that message, I gave several priorities, and we're going to look at those in a moment just as a reminder. Today, we're emphasizing children. And so, to give you a reminder, if you have not written these down, I hope that you will somewhere. Our first priority is always God. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you. The second priority, if you have one, is your spouse. It's your wife or it's your husband, if you have one. If you do not have a spouse, then you would simply bypass that priority. A boyfriend or a girlfriend does not take the place of a spouse. They are different positions in your relationships. The third is what we're going to talk about today, which is children. The fourth is what I talked about last week, which was the church. Membership matters. It matters that you belong to a good Bible-preaching church. I'm excited. This week, I had a sweet lady call me on the phone, and we talked for probably 15, 20 minutes on the telephone. She's here today, and next Sunday morning, she's going to be baptized. I am thrilled to have her come to be baptized, then to become a member of our church, because she loves the Bible. And so, you ought to have a good Bible believing, Bible preaching, teaching church that you're a part of. And then your last priority is the world in which you live. Those priorities are never to supersede one another. There's never a time when three will supersede one. There's never a time when five would supersede four. And so you have those priorities, and they are never to be taken out of that order. Now, today, family circle number three. You know, sometimes kids say funny things. And I don't know if you write any of those things down that your kids say, but you ought to. Some of them that I came up with this week, not that our kids have said stuff that are on this list, but they've said plenty. I was telling somebody the other day that our oldest, Sarah, she was probably about four, and it was about this time of year. And there was a lady in line in the grocery store behind my wife and Sarah and Dallas. Dallas was about two. Allison was not born yet. And so she's putting the groceries up on the conveyor belt, and all of a sudden, there's this lady that is behind Sarah, who's behind her mom and brother. The lady is, to say the least, you know, maybe not as dressed up as she needed to be. She had long, graying white hair that was kind of stringy. And no makeup, kind of a large nose. And Sarah starts screaming at her mama, "Mama, mama, mama, there's a witch behind us." And Debbie's like, "I could have just killed her in the grocery store." Because the lady heard it. There wasn't any doubt about it. The lady heard it. Well, what about out of the mouth of babes? Kid named Pat, 10 years old. Never trust the dog to watch your food. Wisdom from a kid. Matthew. When you want something expensive, ask your grandparents. Anybody identify with that one? There you go. Okay. Rocky, 9 years old. Wear a hat when you're feeding seagulls. That's pretty good advice right there. Forget the cake. Go straight for the icing. Cynthia, 8 years old. Well, when when your dad is mad and asks you, "Do I look stupid?" Don't answer. Okay, Heather, she's 16. When you get a bad grade in school, show it to your mom when she's on the phone. These kids have thought this stuff through. And then this was one of them that I thought was really pretty funny. Kid 13 said, "Never try to baptize a cat." Okay. So anyway, what is the circle of priority? Well, in Matthew chapter, well, let's go to Psalm 127, 3 through 5 first, and then we'll go to Matthew. But before we read that, don't ever forget this: children are important to God. It's the whole reason we had Bless the Children today, is because our church loves kids. We have Sunday school for kids. We have Awana on Wednesday nights for kids. Brother Chad will make an announcement at the end of the service today about a camp out for kids this coming Friday night. And so, children are important to God. Now, they're not always important to the world. I want you to always remember that. The world doesn't care about kids in many circumstances. If you doubt that, all you've got to do is just look at the pages of the history in your Bible. What do you have over in the book of Exodus? Well, you've got a country or a nation called Egypt. And what does Pharaoh say? There's too many Israelites being born. Kill the boys off. And then what have you got? You've got Moses that's hid in the bulrushes, and God uses him as a deliverer. But those baby boys that were born to those Hebrew women were being killed right and left. But God's protection was upon little Moses. Well, not only that, but what about all of the pagan gods? Gods such as the god Molech, where you had these nations that did not believe in Jehovah, and they would offer child sacrifice on the pages of the Old Testament. And so, Psalm 127 says this: "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." I want you to remember that. They are from God. And it says, the fruit of the womb is His reward. In other words, if you want to look and see if you have been blessed, just think, did I have a child? Did you not see the Coggins over here? Christy came out last week when they were rehearsing. She's just knocking that out with no problem at all. She's bawling her eyes out this morning. All right? But you know why? Because God blessed she and Chris with that little baby boy. And it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. In other words, when you had those kids when you were small, you're like a man that's got a lot of arrows. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. In other words, you got a lot of arrows. What does that mean? That means that many times you can rely on them if they're good kids. They can help you out. You ought to make them take the trash out for you. Make them wash the car. Save you $5 going down to the car wash. And they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, our text today is Matthew chapter 19. Look with me at verse 13. Then, now you say, what is the then about? Well, if you look, we're not going to go there right now, but we will read out of Mark in just a few moments. But in Mark chapter 10 and in Luke chapter 18, what you've got is you've got the same story that we're going to be reading out of Matthew this morning. And what you have is, you've got in Matthew and also in Mark, you have a specific position where this story about children is fixed. If you'll read the preceding verses, not this morning, but later today or sometime this week, you will find that Jesus is discussing divorce and remarriage. He's talking about the importance of keeping the home together. So I do not think that it's a coincidence that God just interjected our passage this morning just here. So it says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them, and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Who's the them? The parents? The grandparents? But Jesus said, suffer little children. Allow little children. Don't forbid little children to come unto me. For such is the kingdom of heaven. In Mark it says, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Luke, of such is the kingdom of heaven. If you want to know how people get into the kingdom of heaven, you look at the way kids believe. It's just a simple trust. And that's the way that a child gets to heaven, but that's the way a senior person gets to heaven. You come as a little child. You don't come and say, let me tell you what I can offer you, God. He doesn't need anything you've got. You don't come and say, let me tell you how good I am, God. He doesn't care about your righteousness, because compared to his, it's his filthy rags. And so he said, you let them come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And so when we look at our passage, the first thing that I want you to see is I want you to see that the parents are to be commended. If you look, it says they were brought unto him. Now, who does the bringing? Well, let's face it. We didn't have any five-year-olds that drove themselves to church this morning. You know who brought them this morning? Either a mom, a dad, a grandparent, or a bus worker. If we have anybody else here any other way, the police may come through those doors at any moment and get some of you for kidnapping. And so a little child does not come on their own. They come because a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or somebody goes and gets them, makes sure that they're dressed, and brings them to the church. Well, it's no different here. There were brought unto him little children. Now, one of the things that's interesting is in the three, what is called synoptic gospels. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three gospels, have many of the stories that overlap with each other. Brother Darrell, would you get me a water? They overlap with one another. That's why they're called the synoptic gospels. Well, if you read Matthew, it says that there were little children that were there. If you read Mark, it says that there were little children there. But if you flipped over, and don't do it, but I'm just telling you, you can check me out later and make sure you know I'm not lying. Luke chapter 18, Luke says that there were infants that were brought. So what does that mean? That means that there were all ages of kids. Today, we had infants that were up here. We had smaller children that were up here. And then we had some kids up to the sixth grade that were up here. And so you have parents that are to be commended. So they were brought. Thank you, Brother Darrell. And so they brought unto him little children. Now, why? That he should put his hands on them. Now, in our society, we don't really put our hands on kids a lot. And rightly so, because of all of the nonsense that takes place in our world today. But one of the things that in ancient times, Jewish people would do, they would have a favorite rabbi, a favorite teacher, and they wanted their children to be exposed to his teaching. And so they would go to him and they would say, and let's just use Dan as an example, Rabbi Dan, would you pray over my children? And he would say, certainly, I'd be happy to. And they would bring their children to Rabbi Dan, and he would take his hand, and he would maybe take both of them, or if there were more than one kid, one on each head, and he would offer a prayer over those kids for God to bless them. And this is exactly what is taking place in our text today. You've got these parents or grandparents, and they love these little ones. And they want their little ones to have the blessing of God upon their lives. That's exactly what we want at this church. In the advertising that we did, we talked about how Jesus loved the little children, and Corinth Baptist Church continues that tradition. Why? We want people to know that kids are important. We want them to come to Christ at an early age. And so, he wanted Jesus. So those parents wanted Jesus to lay hands on those kids and pray a blessing over those kids. Well, not only that, but the second thing I want you to see quickly is this. I want you to see that the preachers are corrected. I've heard people say things like this. I don't want a bunch of kids rubbing their hands on the walls, messing up the church. Well, you'd have a hard time hanging out with Jesus. If you look with me at our text, look at the latter part of verse 13. And then we're going to see what Jesus did in the first part of 14. And the disciples rebuked them. Rebuked who? Those moms, those dads, those grandmas, those grandpas. Whoever happened to bring those kids for that blessing. Why? Because Jesus was a rabbi that they had heard about. They said, we've heard about that rabbi. Blind people now see. Deaf people who now hear. People that couldn't walk, they're walking and jumping. We've heard about people that had died and now they're alive again. We've heard that. That's going to be the guy we want to go see. Well, let me tell you, that'd be the guy you'd want to go see. If you lived during Jesus' time and you got some guy that nothing ever happened in his school, and then you got this guy over here, and every time he goes somewhere, something great happens, you're going to go, if you got any sense, you're going to go, I choose him. And that's what they've done. They're coming. They've heard Jesus speak about divorce. They've heard him talk about the importance of the family. And now they're saying, we want him to put his hands on our kids. And so they bring him. But the disciples go, he's tired. He's had a busy day. Leave the master alone. And so it says that they rebuke them. But if you look at the first part of 14, but when Jesus saw it, now you think about when Jesus saw it, that meant that he could have been as far away as from here, maybe to the doors or the couches out in the foyer. And maybe the disciples had a line that people had to stand behind because Jesus was so popular. And they're over there and they're going, we want to see Jesus. We want him to pray over our kids. We want him to put a hand on our children. We've heard how he's healed people. And the disciples, leave the master alone. And Jesus goes, he's displeased about it. In Mark chapter 10, if you'll flip over there, you'll see the whole conversation here. He says that Jesus was displeased when he saw what the disciples, those preachers, were doing. So he's standing or sitting away and he's going, hey, leave them alone. And he's ticked off about it. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you look at Mark and you see that word displeased there, the Greek word means to be moved with indignation. It wasn't that he just said, hey, boys, no, I don't bother them. No, he's, leave them alone. Do you know there's only just a few times when Jesus got angry in the New Testament? But this is one of them. When you try to keep kids from Jesus, he don't like it. And I want you to know that Jesus ought to set the example for a church. nobody ought to ever say, we don't want them snotty-nosed kids around here. They mess those walls up, then help paint them. They wear the carpet out a year early. Well, get off the hip and let's help put some more carpet in. Because their soul is more important than a painted wall. Their soul is more important than a hole in a wall. Now, do we like fixing holes in the walls? Absolutely not. And if we knew a kid did it on purpose, you know, we might go get Brother J.L. Moody and let him thump him. We had a Sunday school teacher 40 years ago that if you were in his class and wasn't minded, he had a big old finger there and he'd thump you. Couldn't do that today, you know, even though it ought to be done today. But he was moved with indignation. Well, let me give you a third thought. I want you to see the preaching that Christ did. Look at the latter part of verse 14. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now, if you've got a pen or a highlighter, you ought to highlight that little two-letter word, as. It didn't say that the kingdom of God could be received only by a little child. It said, as a little child. Do you know how a kid trusts? They just, somebody tells them something and they believe it. That is the way that a person gets saved. Jesus said, you're a sinner. And you go, yeah. The Bible says that sin's got to be paid for. And you go, yeah. The Bible says Jesus paid for it. And you go, well, I've heard that. And then if you'll ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you, he'll do it if you'll just trust it. They go, okay. And did you know that when they come at an early age, it's better? Because they have a whole life to live for the Lord. A whole life to live for the Lord. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist from the late 1800s, somebody asked him, said, Mr. Moody, how was the meeting that you had this past weekend? He said, it was a wonderful, wonderful meeting. He said, we had three people saved. We had 2.5 lives. And somebody said, oh, you had 2 adults and 1 kid. He said, oh, no. He said, we had 2 children and 1 adult. Because the children have their whole life to serve God. The adult only has a half a life. And so when these kids come this morning and we pray over them, you know what we want? We want God to step into their life at an early age. I want God to stamp ownership on their life at an early age. I don't want them to get out into the world and get involved in all types of drugs and immorality and those types of things. Man, that's just setting them up for just a horrible, horrible life. I want their testimony to be, my mom and dad put me in the nursery when I was born. And when I got out of the nursery, I went to the toddlers. And I got out of the toddlers, I went to the 2 and 3-year-olds. And when I got out of the 2 and 3s, I went to the 4 and 5s. Then I went to the 1st and 2nd grade, and the 3rd and 4th grade, and the 5th and 6th grade, and then the 7th and 8th grade. And then the 9th through 12th grade. And then the college and career. And then I went to the Sunday school class for a single adult. And then I got married and I went to a couples class. I don't want to have a little intervention there. A little parentheses. Where they go, well, I got to go out there and share my wild oats for 5 years. You don't have to do that. And let God stamp their life at an early age and say, that boy belongs to me. That girl belongs to me. And so, the preaching of Christ, he said, you allow those kids to come. The fourth thing I want you to see is this. Look with me at verse 16. The parents' desire is honored. In verse 16 of the Gospel of Mark, it says that he took them up in his arms. You know what that means? He reached down and he picked them up one by one. And what did he do? He put his hands on them. That meant that he put his hand over on their head. And then it says he blessed them. If you read the account in Matthew, it didn't say blessed, it said he prayed. But when you take all of the accounts together, basically he prayed a blessing on these little ones. And so you have parents. They come to the one that can help. And what do? They get help. They just get help. And so as we close today, I want you to have some takeaways. Number one, I want you to see that these parents demonstrated their priorities were in order. If you think about God, where did they go to? They came to Jesus. That's the right priority. Well, what about circle number four, which we talked about last week? Well, I believe that the church is actively involved in raising kids. And so you've got the parents, and they were wise enough to bring their kids to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when you have people that are God's people, and they mean well. And they may say something, and they don't mean to hurt you, but they might hurt you. Don't make that out that Jesus did it. All right? Jesus has never hurt anybody. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. The rest of us are just sinners. And we make mistakes. But I want you to know that we don't want to. We want this church to be a church where kids are loved, where they're protected, where they're prayed over, where they're won to Christ, where they're baptized, and where that they're taught and trained, whatever venue they happen to be in, whether it be Sunday school, Awana, a children's crusade, a revival, whatever it happens to be. We want those kids to be blessed. These parents, they had their priorities in order. Not only that, but they didn't just trust anybody else to do their job. You say, what do you mean by that? That means they brought them personally. You know, one of the things that happens often when you have a bus ministry, you've got parents that'll put the kids on a bus or a van, but they don't bring the kids. And every once in a while, you know, you'll hear a success story. I believe that we've got some potential success stories out here to my right this morning. But I'm telling you, the percentages are a whole lot better when a daddy and a mama bring them kids to church. And what you've got is, you've got parents that didn't trust anybody, they personally brought them. Well, not only that, but these parents persevered until they got the attention of Jesus. In other words, they believed that if they kept on and kept on and kept on making a racket, that finally Jesus would hear it. And here they are, they're going, we want to see Jesus. You can't see the master. We want to see Jesus. You can't see him. We want to see Jesus. And the elevation of the volume just goes. And finally, Jesus is going, what's happening? They want to get in here to see you with a bunch of kids. Let them in. And he's moved with indignation. So they persevered. I'm still battling a little sore throat. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. That has the idea that you pray over and you pray over and you pray over. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And so they persevered. The last thing I want you to see is this. They came early. Now, whether you take Luke's account as an infant, Matthew, Mark's, Luke account as a small child, does not matter. The point is, they brought these kids to Jesus at an early age. If you've ever poured any concrete, I haven't done that in a while. Don't plan to do it again. Don't mean I won't. Just means I don't want to. Okay? Don't mind doing it, I just don't want to. But I've poured some concrete before. Years ago, I guess it's probably been 12, 13 years ago now. Behind the church back here at the ball field, we formed up some bleachers. And we had some big concrete trucks that came in, and we were pouring that concrete. We wanted to make sure everything was done that needed to be done before that concrete was set. We almost lost one level of bleachers because the plywood started bowing. And I mean, when you're talking yards of concrete, that's heavy. And we were able to stop it and get it secured until the concrete set. But I'm going to tell you something. If you went out there today, you're not going to be moving that concrete around. Now, when it was being poured, when it was still wet and fresh, you could have written your name in it. You could have done a few things, made a few more curves in it. You could have thinned it out a little bit, fattened it up a little bit. You could have done several things to those concrete forms, and you could have formed that concrete while it was wet. But unless you're going to take a huge track hoe, demolish that whole bleacher, and start over fresh, you're not doing anything with that concrete. Can I tell you that that's a child's life? You've got one shot, Mama. You got one shot, Daddy. Grandparents, you got one shot of trying to make sure when that kid is small that they get to Jesus. You need to plant those seeds early, because once that concrete sets in that kid's life, it's going to be awful hard. It's going to take the grace, the mercy, and a miracle of God for that person to come to Christ. Now, I'll show you by example what I'm talking about, and you just look around when I ask these questions. How many of you in here were saved before you were 18 years of age? Raise your hand. Now, you look around. How many of you were saved, put those hands down, from the time you were maybe 18 to 30? Raise your hand. A few more. What about 31 to 40? You see what's happening? It's getting less and less and less. What about 40 to 50? Okay. What about 50 to 60? 70, 80? George? What about anybody else over 70? Anybody else? Today, one person in this whole auditorium, several hundred people, one person, after they were 70, trusted Christ. Does that not tell us the importance of bringing the children to Jesus at an early age? This morning, circle number 3 are the kids. That circle does not supersede your priority of God. And I go so as far as to say it does not even supersede the priority of your spouse if you're married. But it supersedes every other relationship. It supersedes an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, supersedes best friends. Those kids are important. And if your priorities are in order, you personally bring them to Jesus at an early age. You persevere until they get to Jesus at an early age before that cement sets. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I want to thank you for being here today. If God has touched your touched your heart today, and you need to do business with Him, I want you to come on this first verse. When you hear the music, like right now, if you need to come, I want you to come.